Hi, everyone. Thank you. Oh, sorry, I made some of you jump then. Thank you so much for attending this latest session at the Professional Development and Careers Theatre, brought to you by C&D and very kindly sponsored by Well Pharmacy. As you will have noticed, there are headphones on your seat, so if you're having trouble hearing at any point, and I know you're going to want to hear this one, just pop them on and you'll be able to hear just fine. So I'm absolutely thrilled. This is one of the C&D sessions that we have today on diversity and inclusion in pharmacy, which is a hugely important area and one I know is certainly very close to my heart. So I'm delighted to introduce Nana Ofori-Atta. He will be interviewing Dr. Mahendra Patel, who is a bit of a legend in pharmacy. I'm sure he's why you're all here. Or it might be for Nana, the other superstar that we have here. But I'm really, really excited to hear everything that these guys have to say. I think it's going to be a really interesting chat. Hopefully there'll be some time for questions and answers at the end, but certainly we'll all be here afterwards, hanging around a little bit. So if you do have any questions, come up and say hi afterwards. We'd really love to hear from you. So without any further ado, I'm going to take it over to Nana and Mahendra.
Thank you very much, Beth. Thank you guys for joining us. And once again, a big thank you for Dr. Mahendra for taking the time to come speak to us today. So the topic we're talking about is basically the importance of taking ownership when it comes to diversity. And we've got Dr. Mahendra here. So for us to start, I'm going to ask you, Dr. We're just going to have a quick chat through your career progressions so far. So what are the things you did to get to where you are at the moment? Take us from the beginning.
Thank you very much for having me here. I've had to make a note of this because it's not that I'm trying to showcase exactly all the things and from a bragging perspective.
Oh, but that's what we want you to do.
But I want you to see how pharmacy can open so many doors and how diverse it is and what it can do for you, because we don't get taught that, really. So I started my first day as a pharmacist was as a pharmacy manager in the community pharmacy. So that was, straight, no pressure there, really. And then this is where I just bringing in race and religion here. It was a lovely Jewish gentleman, Jewish owner, owned pharmacy, small chain, and he was very orthodox and didn't used to open his pharmacy on a Saturday because of Sabbath. But I was obviously young blood, wanting to do whatever we could, and opening on the Sunday was fine by me, and not coming in on Saturday didn't bother me. But what I did realize is respect for religion at that point, because I didn't have much association with the Jewish community or the faith. But working with him and how that sort of led me onto a platform that really set me off, that is incredible. And I've still got to say thank you to David Taylor wherever he is today. And that, from that perspective, I had my own. After a year, he wanted to go off and do a sabbatical in Israel, and he said, why don't you buy my pharmacy? Which I said, I don't have the money. He said, well, you've done such a good job for me, I shall lend you the money interest-free over 4 years. So I started my first pharmacy with no money. Even the deposit for the stock was on a loan by Unichem. So really, I didn't have to pay anything. In a year's time after that, I tripled the business, sold it on for 100% of its value in terms of inflation, so 100 times the goodwill element that I got, and I was offered a job in America. That's when I learned about the diversity and the issues. I was in the Deep South, in Alabama, in Georgia. I was working in Albany, Georgia, which had the largest proportion of black concentration in the whole of America. And it was that learning that how people from a white background, management position, was treating people of black origin, really. But I didn't do anything, and I was a manager, employed as a manager, and there was an incident where they wanted me to fire somebody. They was often using the N-word. It wasn't for me, but I wasn't controversial. It was the learning that it gave me and where I am today as well. At the end of the day, I didn't feel for that, so I came back, started my own pharmacy again, I went on to have three pharmacies, and that gave me the issues around health inequalities. And then into research, because I was in different areas. How is it that this is one area which is largely white, has preventive long-term medicine, the other area which is very deprived, ethnic minority concentration, and is just symptomatic treatment? That sort of spurred me on to do a PhD in health inequality and research. That then went on to lead me on to developing NICE guidelines. Some of the NICE got involved with NICE, and I became the first fellow of NICE in terms of evidence-based practice, brought on the British Heart Foundation, working with communities, the importance around cardiovascular health. I did lots of charity for them, did national football programs, and bringing in the health element through there. And then I started sitting on national steering committees for the British Heart Foundation, which was a challenge in itself. Then with the South Asian Health Foundation, and then I went on to the RPS, where I got my fellowship, and somebody said, why don't you stand for board election? Just came like that. I'm not a politician. I'm not into pharmacy politics. But probably that was also another good thing that happened to me, because I'm now able to help and shape some of the direction of travel, or have been, for the pharmacy profession and the leadership element. That then took me onto national, international platforms, doing student exchange program in America, visiting professor in Malaysia. I did an antimicrobial resistance program across various states in India. I got my first fellow. I was the first to be appointed fellow. And then that culminated in me becoming a national lead for the COVID-19 treatment trials at the University of Oxford, which then actually that really took to town. And I created havoc in the four walls of my room where we couldn't go out. But I was day, night, 7 days a week, bang, 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 bringing all communities together, making it inclusive in terms of research. Research from people from marginalized communities was very low, and we wanted to engage and make sure these trials were representative. And again, it fits onto that health inequalities element. That then helped me to bring on the Center for Research Equity through Pharmacy, Community and Healthcare at the University of Oxford, the world's leading university, world's leading research center, where we've got pharmacy as a plate in there as well, a platform for everybody to come in, to sing, to dance, make it inclusive. Let's not make it exclusive, so that they can see what people outside can offer more than what they did, and for them to go outside as well. And it's a platform that I want to create, as I've said, where you can make that platform very strong. I'm here today, but maybe gone tomorrow, so that it is becoming something for you to take up to the next level. And also through this work, I've been advising regulators, chief executives of the health and care, social care regulators, as well as our own General Pharmaceutical Council. And I now am professional advisor, chief pharmaceutical officer, NHS England. That's a little bit of a whistle-stop story of where I am.
Believe it or not, that is the short version of what he's done. But one thing about your career so far is the amount of diverse in the things that you've done. One question I wanted to ask is, how did you find transferring your skills from, say, being community pharmacy into doing research and into doing what you're doing now?
This is interesting, really. I don't often reflect, but I do have to pinch myself to believe where I am, because of the different platforms and the very high level of platforms that sort of, you wouldn't think pharmacy would be there. Do you think pharmacy would be at the Centre for Research Equity at Oxford? Not really, yet that's what's happened. And how have I done that? It is more around making sure that we're fair, we're honest, I've not been controversial, but still to understand the differences that we have. But coming from a humble background, and also in my days when I graduated, which is quite a while ago, pharmacy was a second-rate healthcare profession. So not was it just my ethnicity that was a barrier for me, but also, you know, having pharmacy. And wherever I pitched pharmacy, whether if it was the British Heart Foundation on its national steering group, or whether if it was NICE, where I was the first to have a fellowship at NICE, I thought largely doctor's playground here, very intimidating. But I didn't speak for the sake of speaking, and I always spoke when I felt there was something important to say, but also very, 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 very carefully with not the confidence. But that confidence has started growing because people started listening, and it just continued to grow and grow and grow. Even today, yeah. I feel, if I'm going somewhere, I'm presenting in Northern Ireland on Wednesday, Thursday, at the Northern Ireland NHS Health and Social Care Confederation Conference in Belfast, I will still feel, it's not the presentation that I feel about, but will we get accepted? And I can't get that out of my head. But it's the evidence, the work, the level of work, the quality of work, the tenacity, the fairness, without controversy, but understanding people and where they come from and respecting, that sort of has spoken volumes apart from me coming in and saying things myself, really. So I think it is, I've let the work count for me. If you look at the COVID work, the fact that it's been presented and published in The Lancet on a number of occasions, it's even been presented at the United Nations, I really don't need to say anything. It speaks volumes for itself, really. So I let the work speak for itself, that allows me to get those wider, those senior professionals on board. I assure you, it was intimidating. I'll be intimidated in Northern Ireland with what I'm doing. I'm presenting at the Nigerian, the Medical Nigerian Doctors Association annual conference in 2 weeks' time. What am I doing there? You know, and I feel an alien in an area, but because I've reached out to people from all backgrounds and diversities, I think they're recognizing is where we are. And what has happened is, it's not pharmacy. I never say I'm a pharmacist, I'm doing this. But they then say, this is a pharmacist that's doing this, 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 this. And it's that evolution, that elasticity of what pharmacy can bring to you, rather than putting it in a bubble and think this is all that pharmacy can do. Let it ventilate, let it travel, and let other people see what not you as a pharmacy professional can do, but what pharmacy can offer across the different disciplines.
I love the fact that you talk about, like, seeing the pharmacy as a bubble and letting it ventilate. And I think one thing that we discussed before was that by having that ventilation in your bubble, it also allows other people to come in and bring in their ideas, and it allows cross-sectional learning basically between your profession and other professions. One thing I wanted to know is, you've worked in very different organizations and under very different situations. Did you ever have a problem fitting into a role?
Yeah, and I don't see it like that. I just come in and sing and dance, I think, or try to. I can't sing or dance anyway, by the way. But I never see it like that. I just know the work that I'm doing, and I play on the work. I perhaps play on the work.
Yeah.
So fitting in, as I've said before, it's been daunting. When I was awarded my fellowship at NICE, these were all doctors at the highest level from different backgrounds. That was not easy, and I was the only pharmacist there. That was scary. When I was doing the National Steering Group with the British Heart Foundation, that was scary. You've got people flying from Edinburgh and Glasgow and wherever, and there's me, little pharmacy there. It is more around looking at that, building the relationship with people, but don't take things personal and have belief in yourself. Let that confidence grow. And you've got to be disciplined about it. You've got to make sure you are focused. Today is a world that's so fragile. I think even the pharmacy profession is the way it's going. But the opportunities are held and are so vast. Don't be held by some one individual experience. It is about that whole diverse. We are healthcare professionals. Don't see it as pharmacy, and see it as healthcare professionals. That cuts into nursing, dentistry, medicine, public health, education, policy, practice, leadership. And that's what I've tried to do, really. But I don't see, well, let's fit it into here. It's how can you use your pharmacy experience, skills, knowledge to come into those different paths. And it is about influencing, really. Even my role at the NHS England as professional advisor, chief pharmaceutical officer, even after being on the board at the Royal Pharmaceutical Society, it is about I still have to believe I don't have the confidence. You would not think I don't have the confidence, but I really don't. But once I start talking, I know I'm just talking about my work and I don't see myself. And that's where... And do it with a passion. Don't do it for tokenistic perspectives. Please, and it's easy for me to say, but if you don't believe in it, you're not going to get too far. Do it with a passion, but bring people in. You can never do it. And that's why this platform that we've created, Oxford, it's about inclusivity. It is about reaching that diverse audience from disciplines, from backgrounds, from whether it's socioeconomic background or geography, but bring people in. And that's what I learn. And I'm seeing your faces here, and I'm thinking, you know, it's going to make me cry because you are the reason why I am where I am really today. But you can see right along that path, I've actually managed the medical profession at a very high level. I've been involved with the medical profession at a very high level. Academia, national platforms, international platforms. I never thought, coming from a community pharmacy background, that I'd be able to do this. But it is that learning that I had that first day in that Jewish-owned pharmacy as a manager, thinking, wow, what am I going to do today? On my first day of qualification. And he just left me. He just opened the door and says, right, you're on your own now. And that was it. But it is, and reflecting, have time to reflect.
I think you mentioned a very important point there, because the question I was asking is about fitting in. And what you basically said to us is, sometimes it's actually best not to try and fit in. Like, being yourself, being the individual, is what draws people into it. Like, staying a pharmacist and going into a place and not trying to impose yourself or trying to make yourself fit just allows people to just accept you the way you are.
I think the way you make change is you stay inside the system. You cannot do it from the outside, whether you like it or not, and keep persevering. There's an example here that I know so well in Deborah, and I don't want to make her shy, but this is something that I moved on to Sussex, and we did the Student Race Equity Champions program there, and it gave me great, you know, such an uplift that awards and accolades are only momentary. But when you see the smile and the joys and the careers developing and people around you thinking, well, actually, you've made a difference. Isn't that why we're here? So it's not just about improving health and health outcomes. It's about how are you embracing things and bringing things in. I still feel, whilst I had a challenge with the medical profession or NICE, I had such an inferiority complex. And I'm not going to play the violin here. But I used to think, you know, Professor so-and-so and the medical director of blah, blah, blah. And I used to think, what am I doing here? But just carrying on, knowing what I could do and just do what I do, and not to be false in any way, I think has been part of the success in where we are today. Today, pharmacy is seen as pharmacy, as such a broad-based profession. And I'm not saying this because I'm on stage here, but I've got evidence over the years of qualifying and what I've done from academia to research to education to practice to leadership nationally and internationally. You know, I was the first fellow of the Indian Pharmaceutical Association because I suddenly thought of antimicrobial resistance, which was, you know, India was one of the biggest culprits for global antimicrobial resistance. So I started showcasing and developing antibiotic champions in various states in India. And that then grew quite significantly. And it was that education system. So we've got it all. It used that broad-based platforms. I remember when I started pharmacy, it's a broad-based discipline. It's a broad-based profession. It's a solid science. Use the wider parameters of science, be it maths, be it physics, chemistry, biology, humanity, all that comes into the umbrella of science. So don't close yourself down into one little bubble. Ventilate, go out, evolve, it's dynamic.
I think that's the key word that we're going to take, really. Allow yourself to ventilate when you go into the profession. If you had just before we close up, so we take some questions from the audience, if you had one piece of advice that you could give to our audience about going through their profession, how being different helped in your career?
I never saw myself as different. I always saw myself with a big inferiority complex. And I'll never be able to get rid of that. It's inherent. And I don't know why, but it's there. So the confidence, I just let continue to grow and grow and grow and grow, but not in a negative fashion. And I think that's, and I also feel it's the learning, the reflection. I'm a bit of a people gazer. I like to watch, if I'm on a train, what am I seeing that I'm actually, that could be done? You know, is there some, and I'm not doing it with a purpose, but I just look at that and I then go back and think, how can I translate this? Or I can suddenly remember it. So it's your curiosity. If you've got that curiosity, fill it, keep it growing, and that, let it be dynamic is all I can say. But I really can't answer in a specific fashion. What we've got coming in the next few weeks, watch the space. But again, and I've said it to you, Nana, that whilst I've had even the National Honours Award of receiving the OBE, and that was a very proud moment, but that's a moment in my life. But what I like to see is, where is the sustainability? How can we continue that? And that's where you and everybody bring that platform and growing that to the next generation. And not just about me thinking, well, this is me and I'm right at the top of the career, which I don't know when I'll get to that stage, because I don't see a top. We're all on the same platform, but we need to be working to each other's strengths and support through their weaknesses.
Thank you very much. I think we'll open up the floor for some... Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah. I think we're now going to open up the floor for some questions. So if anyone's got any questions for Dr. Mahendra, just put up your hand, the microphone will come to you. If you don't ask questions, I'll turn into a teacher and start pointing people out. So if you've got, there you go.
Hi, Dr. Mahendra. That was a really interesting talk, thank you. I wanted to ask if you had any advice for people wanting to pursue a PhD.
Yeah, so my PhD came, as you know, I saw the health inequalities. I didn't know if I wanted to do a PhD. But the research was, the inequality was so stark that I had one area with my pharmacy which was largely white and was getting all the care that could have been given under the circumstances at the time. And I was working in an area where it was just, I need some nit shampoo, I need some topical dermatological hydrating cream. It was all that supply and demand type of thing. It is, have you got an area for research? Have you got an area for research? You need to identify that. Get the people and make sure you have the people in the institution interested in your work. Is it innovative and what difference is it going to make? If you can answer that question, then I think you're on a bit of a winner, really, because people want to see what is going to drive change and how can it make an impact. And that's where my PhD came from. I didn't want to do a PhD and leave it landing on the shelf gathering dust. I've always said that. My brother has a PhD and it's still gathering dust. So that was a great example for me and a great inspiration. But it then started producing guidelines that went into NICE and et cetera, or shaped some of the guidelines that are coming through for medicines adherence. So it was, how can it make a difference? And if that happens, you are then set for life, because it's something that you've started from your curiosity and knowing that at the end of the road there's going to be a difference at some point, really. If you look at the inclusion and diversity element, I have yet to talk about discrimination because it's not something that I talk about, but I just work with it and I just do whatever I can to break down those barriers and support and let others understand and realize that professional discrimination is the worst of its kind. And I was seeing that, which for many years took me a long time to think, should I be here? And yet I became the chief executive of the South Asian Health Foundation, which I still feel sometimes what is happening here. But I think you've got to look at that discrimination element, but work with them and bring them on board. answer to your PhD question, you've got it. There will be funding around. Get the people around you within the institution to support. Have a look at, is it innovative? Is it going to make a change? And then drive it forward and get people on board and talk to as many people as you can to drive that.
Thank you very much.
Any other questions? This one.
So Mahendra, you have done so much in your career and you've made such a difference in so many people's lives, but that work can be really taxing. So do you have any like practical advice on how you prevent burnout or how you cope with burnout and how you keep pushing yourself?
You know what? I've been asked this question, and even this morning as I was coming down, somebody said to me, slow down. But I can't slow down because I feel that there's something here. All the time, it's either this direction or that direction, and why should I let it go? Because otherwise it will be gone. It's like a flame, it goes out. So how do you keep it going? In terms of my burnout, I suppose it's the look at the faces. If you could see what I could see now, that stops my burnout. That gives me the fuel to keep going. It's that energy and supporting people, and particularly if it's made a difference. But also that, you know, I see it on a very another scale now, which I've never seen before, is for the wider medical nursing professions to listen to me, us, through pharmacy. That, to me, is not something I'd witnessed for many, many years. So that stops me from the burnout. But I think it's the adrenaline when I feel that belief is there. I don't think that burnout will be there. For the clear example was the work that I did in COVID-19, as a national lead when I was appointed for supporting inclusive engagement across the world's largest primary care clinical trials in the world and the fastest recruiting, making news everywhere, 25,500 patients recruited in 4.5 months, but across ethnicities, across diversities, across socio-demographic, socio-economic platforms, across England, Scotland, Wales, Northern Ireland, is where pharmacy has helped to showcase this and the value it's brought. So is there a burnout? I never see that. My problem is I feel my age is sort of going to catch me up, if it's not already caught me up, is I wish there was another 10, 15 years where I could go at this pace. I think I can, but my wife doesn't.
I think we have time for one more question. Don't make me do it. Okay, well...
Was that late, did it?
Do you have a question?
Was it a question? That late?
Did you? Oh, okay. Did you not have a question?
Oh.
What did you just...
I have a hard one, maybe I'm sorry.
Oh, no, feel
what
free.
What did she say?
She thinks she's shy.
Oh, bless you.
Go on.
Hello, sorry. I'm from Ukraine. What you can give me advice how I can start my, develop my career here? Because I'm a pharmacist, but in Ukraine, what step by step I can do here?
She's a Ukrainian pharmacist, and she's come over. She wants advice on how she can start working in the UK. Yeah.
Working as a pharmacist or working?
As a pharmacist.
Yeah, so obviously you've got, if your qualification is reciprocal here, that's the first thing that you need to do. So you have to reciprocate your pharmacy degree. But I also feel that once you've qualified as a pharmacist, you can still use your area of experience and knowledge into other disciplines. It doesn't have to be in a clinical, practical perspective. It could be in science, it could be in research, it could be in public health. So how you could diversify that, as I've said before, don't just think in one box. That is the other element to that. But I think reciprocate your degree is what you need to do. And there are, I think, Durham were doing a reciprocal degree. So how you translate that degree across. The other thing is make sure you get your pharmacy experience in different settings as well. That's the other part of what we are, where we are really. So getting that early experience, even because you come from the Ukraine, to understand the culture, the practice, and how it feels. I often feel, and what I've found as an academic, is people don't always pass their exams. It's not because they're not knowledgeable and they don't know their work. It's more because of some of the cultural differences that we need to actually take out of the system. So it's not your clinical or your scientific knowledge, but it's understanding and seeing how that cultural difference can be different, and see it from their point, and they have to see it from your point to get to where we are, really. Because that, I think, has led to some of the differential attainments that we see, which I've also been showcasing and started with the first Black Pharmacy Students program at the University of Huddersfield, which then went on to establish the UK Black Pharmacy Association, and then through my work at Sussex as well, which has showcased hugely everywhere in terms of supporting students reach their goals and tackling that differential attainment.
Thank you very much. I think I'd like to take this opportunity to say a big, massive thank you to Dr. Mahendra Patel. I have to say, every time we talk, I learn something different. She's done so much, and thank you so much for taking the opportunity to come and have this conversation with us. So if we would like to give Dr. Patel a big round of applause, please. And
thank you very much, and it's been an absolute pleasure. Just one little piece of advice, if I can, is that we are all individuals, and we are all different, and there's so much heterogeneity that you need to look at that heterogeneity and respect that heterogeneity, but learn from that as well. And the people that you're addressing should also understand that as well. So one size doesn't fit everything, but make it sure that the platform is there to be able to bring that on board, to be able to do something about it. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you. And Dr. Patel will be around, so make sure you find him if you didn't get a chance to ask your questions. Thank you, guys.
Well, thank you so much. That was a brilliant talk. I love that message at the end about celebrating our differences. That's exactly what we're all about here. Really hope you enjoy that latest talk. These guys will be around if you want to mob them afterwards. I'm sure you will want to. We've got a short break now, about 10-15 minutes until our next session. Hope to see you there. Thanks very much.